77 WABC and Bergen Newbridge Medical Center honor the life of legendary broadcaster and our friend, Ernie Anastas.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130 for an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
Thank you and welcome back. We're going to hear from Colonel Jack Jacobs, as I mentioned, to discuss the topic that we were just talking about. Where are we with Iran? Colonel Jacobs is a retired colonel from the U.S. Army, awarded the Medal of Honor, 2 Silver Stars, 3 Bronze Stars, 2 Purple Hearts. On the faculty at West Point and at the National War College. So he is truly a great American, a patriot, honored by this nation with its highest honors, and a straight shooter and an expert. So talking to him, you know, you're getting the best information you can. Welcome, Colonel. Good to be back with you. Colonel, where do you think we are here? You know, we're getting limited news. We get snapshots. We get statements from the federal government. There are no real reporters on the ground. But what does it look like to you? Where are we?
Well, it's difficult to envision where we're headed. We know where we are. I mean, there are continuous attacks on both sides, and they will continue as long as the munitions hold out. But it's hard to figure out what the objective is that's achievable. Typically, in a military operation, as it should be either in business and your personal life, you start at the end and work backwards. What is it you're trying to accomplish? Articulate what it is you're trying to do. And then you allocate resources, time, money, people, in order to accomplish it. Sometimes it's phased and you do it in bits, but you know where you're headed. And as we may have mentioned before, there were, I think it was Lewis Carroll who wrote in Through the Looking Glass, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. So it's one thing to say that what we're looking for is unconditional surrender, but of whom and what happens after that? Now, we have military operations planned for just about every contingency you can think of, and a lot of them you can't, for defending against an invasion by China on Taiwan, if there's a war in the Western Pacific and we are or are not involved, defending Vietnam, defending against an incursion into Western Europe by Russia, and so on. Everything you can possibly think of, we've got plans for. And all of them start with what the objective ought to be. It's unclear what the objective is here. And so it's one thing to say we're going to pound them into the Stone Age. It's something else again to articulate how are we going to know when that is and what happens the day after that. When we fought in World War II, we knew exactly what that was. By the way, that was the last time that we used the term unconditional surrender. We knew exactly what it is, exactly how we would recognize that it had happened. And it took us until 1943, almost 2 years after we were attacked by the Japanese, to come to the conclusion that that's what we wanted. And we knew that when that did happen, when there was unconditional surrender by the Axis, the result was going to be that we had to commit a large number and amount of resources in order to secure the peace, that we'd have to occupy the Axis countries, we'd have to build them back up again, we knew what it would cost and all the rest of it. That's not clear here. And when the administration says that what we want is unconditional surrender, and by the way, I'm no fan of Iran, they've caused nothing but trouble since 1979 and will continue to do so, unless there's a change inside the country. But it's unclear that just bombing them is going to do any good.
Yeah.
The expectation that the president articulated at the very beginning that this was for the people of Iran and it was giving them an opportunity to seize control of their country. Well, it remains to be seen whether or not the people of Iran can do anything like that. At the end of the day, we have to recognize that it's the army and in particular the Republican guards who are in control and will stay in control. And it's hard to see how that's going to change, Governor.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that, Colonel. Pardon my cynicism. I think it's going to come down to oil. And this, I'm fascinated by the Strait of Hormuz issue. The president said he would send ships to escort tankers through the strait, protect the tankers coming through the strait. That has not happened yet. And reportedly, there's no ships on the way to escort tankers. Do you think that's realistic, that is going to happen, that we would send ships to escort tankers through the strait and put people in that danger?
It's possible, but unlikely. And you articulated exactly why that's so. Don't forget, and you mentioned it, that the straits, the shipping lanes themselves through Hormuz, only about 5 miles wide, these ships are easy targets for low-cost drones and missiles from the Houthis, to say nothing of from Iran, which can range the straits very, very easily and put American shipping at risk. It's difficult to envision how the president, when advised by his military as generals and admirals who are close to him, that escorting ships through the Straits of Hormuz in the middle of this conflict is probably going to result in an American ship being at least one getting attacked by Iran and its allies, and that there will be lots more than six people coming to Doha to be escorted. There will be lots more. He's probably going to back down. That may have been just bravado. At the moment, no ships are getting through. Price of oil's up about 15%. It's probably going to go up even more. I don't see how the president's going to make a decision to escort these ships and put American capital ships at risk going through a five-mile wide shipping lane, Governor.
All right, so here's my prediction, and you can tell me why it's far-fetched. We're not going to send escort ships because it's too dangerous. Tankers will not be coming through the strait, which means oil will not flow, which means the price of gasoline will go up, which means real Americans will feel it in their pocketbook. And then they're really going to have a negative feeling towards the action. At that point, the president does a Greenland pirouette, a graceful 180, says, mission accomplished. We killed the Ayatollah. We destroyed their nuclear capacity. We don't have to worry about them now for decades because of what we did with their nuclear capacity. We killed everyone we wanted to kill. Mission accomplished. We're going home. Let the tankers move and let the supply of oil increase. What do you say to that?
I say I wouldn't take the other side of that bet. I mean, if you take a look at how the White House has operated in similar situations on different subjects, it's been principally that. It's very easy to declare victory and go home. And as a matter of fact, I remember when I was fighting in Vietnam and the politics were roiling in the streets about American involvement. Some wagon, I can't remember who it was, said, why don't we just declare victory and go home? And ultimately, that's kind of like what we did. This president is much more likely than anybody to do exactly that. If we remember at the very beginning, and I mentioned this before, Trump said, We're going to make it easy for the, this paraphrasing, we're going to make it easy for the people of Iran to rise up against the theocracy and turn the place into a, you know, a democratic stronghold. And we're going to help them. And so there's no reason why, after a certain period of time, he wouldn't say, and maybe when the price of oil goes up to, you know, a buck and $125, $130 a barrel or more, to say, you know, we've done what we can for these people and we're going home.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to declare victory. He just has to say, we made it possible for the people of Iran to rise up against the theocracy, and they didn't do it. We did what we could.
Yeah.
And I take that side of the bet anytime, Governor.
Yeah. That's my guess. Watch the price of oil. You'll know when the war is going to end. And that's going to be the determining factor. And I don't see how they get around the problem at the Strait of Hormuz. And if you can't solve that, then you know how this ends. To use the line where you started, Colonel.
Well, you have to ask yourself the question about the oil. Where's the Venezuelan oil we're going to get? I mean, Venezuela has the largest reserves of oil in the world, and for a wide variety of reasons, we're not using it. There's oil in West Africa, but it doesn't compare with the volume of oil that comes through the Straits of Hormuz. We could obviate the problem by getting oil out of Venezuela, but that takes resources that we're not willing to commit.
Yeah, and it takes time, and we're looking at a November election. And that's the clock that matters. Colonel, thank you very much for being with us again. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your courage. Thank you, Colonel.
Thanks for having me on the program, Governor.
Thank you. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Did you know that St. Luke's University Health Network, based in the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, has been recognized by the U.S. government as the highest performing health system in the United States for quality? You heard right. St. Luke's number one recognition affirms our status as the top leader among the most respected healthcare providers in the nation, including Houston Methodist and the Mayo Clinic. To state it simply, if you want to receive the best care when you go to a hospital, come to St. Luke's.
Some follow the noise. Bloomberg follows the money. Whether it's the funds fueling AI or crypto's trillion-dollar swings, there's a money side to every story. Get the money side of the story. Subscribe now at Bloomberg.com.